The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
I want to wish everyone in China a very happy Lunar New Year. Just as the tiger symbolizes vitality and health, our foundation has continued to work over this past year. The recent troubling and highly contagious Omicron variant means the COVID-19 pandemic is not yet over. Since the onset of the pandemic, China has worked hard to not only contain the virus, but also contributed to closing the equity gap by supporting other countries with many different supplies, including great vaccines.
I mean, you can't make this up. This is one of America's most famous billionaires. He's attached at the hip to Big Pharma, of course. And there he is praising China. China created the virus. China created the bioweapon. China unleashed it on the world. And that's how many people have sold out to China? How many billionaires? How many CEOs? How many sports leagues? How many politicians have how many presidents have sold out to China? China unleashed it on the world, and there's Bill Gates saying, yeah, they did a great job fighting the virus. They did a great job helping with the vaccines. Anthony Fauci says they're partners. Every once in a while, he says the quiet part out loud. It's been great working with the communist. Sorry, did I say communists? I meant it's been great working with the scientists over in China. Fauci helped fund it. So did Dr. Collins. And this is unbelievable. As I say, you cannot make this up. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining our growing audience. You can get to this program, the audio stream of it, at CRN Digital Talk Radio, Channel 3 on that platform. They play some repeats through the day on their broadcasting network. Same with Channel 6 on CRN Digital Talk Radio. So you can look for us there. You can get to the video stream of this show at our very own website, thetrumpet.com. That's thetrumpet.com. Go to thetrumpet.com/live. And you get to the live stream of this show, which plays at 11 a.m. every weekday in the central time zone of the United States of America. And also we have the podcast there at that page as well. Lots and lots to get to on today's show. I should announce here to begin with, this is from the Associated Press yesterday, the James Webb Telescope. It arrived to its final destination. Hard to believe. It's about 1,000,000 miles away from Earth. It took off, what was it, a little over a month ago, I guess. And so it reached its destination. I guess the telescope now needs to cool down over the next few months before it's ready to go. The Associated Press said this: the world's biggest, most powerful space telescope arrived at its observation post 1,000,000 miles from Earth on Monday, a month after it lifted off on a quest to behold the dawn of the universe. So a positive, uplifting story that we're certainly going to keep our eyes on. Joel Hilliker has written about this a few times and spoken about it here on campus. And so we certainly do hope that they're saying the lifespan, that it has enough fuel to go on for 20 years. They were, I think, estimating initially that it would last for about 10 years. So we're anxious to see the return on that launch coming up here in the next few months. On today's show, a little bit later, we're going to get into this hearing that Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin Yesterday, you may have seen, some of you probably didn't, because, of course, it's censored. He holds this panel discussion with all of these world-renowned experts, and it's basically on COVID-19, a second opinion. So this is a different opinion that you might hear from Anthony Fauci. So he's got Dr. Robert Malone, Dr. McCullough, some of the ones we've played sound bites from over the last couple of years, and quite a few others from all over the world. And there they are. There they are testifying. There they are giving their testimonials and some fascinating tidbits to come out from that. We've actually got about a 9 or 10 minute montage that we'll play hopefully at the end of this segment to just give you a little bit of a snapshot of what was said yesterday in that hearing. But first, let's just try to wrap our minds around this upside-down world. I mean, it truly is Orwellian. Up is down, black is white, right is wrong, war is peace, and on it goes. China, I want to congratulate China. China's the good guy. China's our partner, says Bill Gates, and he's not alone. The Biden crime family says the same. They're working hard with China. Fauci's a partner of China. The communists that work in the Wuhan lab. We're all collaborating. We're all working together. Now, Russia, that's another story. They're the bad guy. Vladimir Putin can't be trusted. Now, we're not going to really do much. Maybe we'll send out some angry tweets. Maybe we'll accuse Donald Trump of colluding with Russia. It wasn't that long ago. Some of you are old enough to remember Barack Obama ridiculing Mitt Romney for daring to suggest that Russia might be a bad actor. But now, I mean, everyone's on board. The radical left, the communists in America's government. Putin has to be confronted. And by that, we mean send out an angry tweet. 8,500 troops. I guess that's going to secure the eastern Ukrainian border. Biden yesterday announcing that they're on call, or they're to be sent to Europe, deployed in Eastern Europe. NATO, though, they're not doing anything. And Germany, meanwhile, is working against us. Germany is betraying the United States and NATO. That's no big deal. Are you following? Russia's the bad guy. Ukraine's borders, I mean, their territorial security, that is top priority for the communists in Washington, D.C. What's happening at the southern border of the United States? No problem. 2 million, some are now saying 3 million this year, just streaming into the United States. That's an invasion. That's an attack. And that we don't talk about. And then you have another crisis that Joe Biden is manufacturing at the northern border, Canada. And he's working in cahoots with Trudeau. If you're not vaccinated as a truck driver, you can't go either direction. Can't come into the United States, can't go up to Canada. These are insane policies that they're destroying the United States of America. America is under attack. Can you see it? It's so obvious. As I say, up is down, right is wrong, war is peace. The Canadian Trucking Alliance estimates that 10 to 15% of 120,000 drivers who routinely cross the border could be affected. About 12,000 drivers. So this comes at a time when there's already supply chain crises. This comes at a time when shelves are already emptying in the United States and Canada. And now these trucks are going to be grounded, or they're going to be stopped. And Joe Biden's already stopped the pipeline, the Keystone Pipeline, connecting Canadian oil and gas to the United States. $45 billion worth of products cross the border into the United States, the Canadian border into the United States, every month. Every month, over half of, Sam pulled some of these stats together, half of America's imported oil comes from Canada. And yet here is the Biden administration demolishing the Keystone Pipeline project and now putting in the name of COVID. Yes, we've got to protect people from COVID. So let's stop even the trucks coming into the United States. This is another bit of little known facts. Biden started buying from Russian oil. This is Sam noted this. January 2021, the U.S. imported about 100,000 barrels a day from Russia. 100,000 barrels a day. When Donald Trump was in office, by the way, he got it down to about 4,000 barrels. That was the low point. And you see, it's exactly the opposite of what your friends at CNN and MSNBC were saying, that Donald Trump was the sellout, that Donald Trump was a stooge of Putin, that Donald Trump, Putin had something on Trump. Putin has something on Biden. 100,000 barrels in January of 2021. In August, Biden brought over 311,000 barrels of oil. Hadn't been from Russia. Hadn't been that high since the Obama years. 311,000. And now, okay, you hear some tough talk. We're going to stand up to Putin. Biden's already conceded Eastern Ukraine. As long as Russia comes in there and just takes maybe a sliver of it. He said it last week. They tried to dial it back, obviously, because it was such a crazy and insane gaffe. He said the silent part out loud. Russia continues to amass troops, armaments. We're on the brink of war in Eastern Europe. Perhaps the biggest conflict that region has seen since World War II. Ukraine exposes just how weak the humiliated West has become. That's from the Telegraph today. It says here, as the U.S. amid the theater and chaos, as the U.S. evacuates its embassy in London, accuses Putin of plotting a coup to install a puppet in Kiev, one thing is clear. America has once and for all abandoned the evangelical liberalism that it espoused as the world hegemon for much of the last 30 years. We've got to get over there, stand up for democracy and so on. That's out the window. What the Telegraph doesn't focus on as much as Richard did in his trumpet brief last night is the German betrayal. But it does bring out this. Ukraine's allies have betrayed their reluctance to defend it. While Joe Biden all but permitted Moscow to make a minor incursion, Germany has blocked NATO allies from sending weapons to Ukraine. Germany has blocked this. It says here, and with this, the poverty of Western leadership has been exposed. I mean, if only the Telegraph understood what's at play here. Germany's helping Russia with this incursion that Joe Biden said would be just fine. America's helping Russia. We talk tough, but we're helping Russia. And then, of course, it's even worse with China. There, the talk is nothing but love, hugs, and kisses. Even as China unleashes this bioweapon to take out Donald Trump, to destroy Western economies. And we've got plenty of that in the stack every day as well. This is from Richard's trumpet brief last night. We will have to wait to find out if Russian President Vladimir Putin really invades or finds a way to get what he wants without it. But one thing is already clear. Germany is no longer on America's side. I mean, this is huge. This is a hugely significant prophetic development. And by the way, tomorrow's news today, we were preparing you for this years ago. I'll get to that in just a second. If you're not a subscriber to The Trumpet, now is your opportunity. Tomorrow's news today, it's completely free. I mean, it's been paid for by others who support this work. But there's no cost or obligation for you to sign up to subscribe. Call our operators, 1-866-930-3024, and request The Trumpet magazine, Richard wrote this. It says, from obstructing NATO to blocking arms and vetoing sanctions, Germany is single-handedly preventing NATO from responding to Ukraine and fatally undermining the alliance. He talks about how the German chancellor said, nope, don't want to talk with Joe Biden, the fake president. He didn't say that, but he just snubbed. He snubbed the president of the United States. It says here, this could be the biggest, most important conflict Europe has seen for generations, and Germany is fighting against America. That's really the greater significance here. Whether Putin waltzes into eastern Ukraine or not, the greater significance here is that Germany is fighting against America. And of course, it can get what it wants here because you've got Biden in office. You've got this illegitimate presidency. You've got this communist presidency headed up by Barack Obama, as I got into yesterday. This is from 2008, November of 2008, the Trumpet magazine. My father said this, did you know that Germany and Russia have probably already dealt with their most urgent differences? It says here, I believe that Germany's leaders may have already agreed to a deal with Russia, a modern Hitler-Stalin pact, where Germany and Russia divide countries and assets between themselves. This agreement would allow each to turn its sights on other targets. Any such deal that may have been struck between Germany and Russia is a precursor to war. We saw that in World War II. My father's talking there. This is 13 years ago, and he's talking about this deal that the two would reach so that they could then turn their attention to other targets. Look at what's happened since the Nord Stream 2 pipeline was finished last year. Now you've got, again, the pipeline bypasses Ukraine. Just goes straight from Russia into Germany. And so Germany's totally dependent on this supply of oil. They've reached this agreement with Russia. And Ukraine doesn't matter as much anymore. And so now Russia's making its move on Ukraine. Surprise, surprise. Listen to what my father wrote in 2018. This is three, four years ago. He said, history shows that Germany and Russia are not actually partners. It says when they enter into peace deals and economic partnerships, it's a signal that either or both are preparing for some kind of imperialistic exploit. It says this makes the Nord Stream 2 deal extremely concerning. So we were sounding the alarm. And by the way, so was Donald Trump. Donald Trump said, look, this is bad for the world, for Germany to be dependent on Russia for oil. Look, Germany's in NATO. Germany should be looking to the United States and Canada for oil supply. But no, that's not the course that this current illegitimate presidency takes. Instead, they shut down the lanes transferring oil between Canada and the United States. They encouraged the Nord Stream 2 to go forward. And now here we are. Now here we are with Russia about to invade little Ukraine. This is from CNN just today. An undersea pipeline set to deliver gas from Russia to China has become exactly what the two countries have always insisted it would never be, a weapon in a geopolitical crisis. Germany and Russia, they said from the beginning, look, this is not going to be weaponized, this pipeline. And here comes CNN today to tell you what the Trumpet told you years ago. Now it's being weaponized. The two countries said it wouldn't be, but it is. Tomorrow's news today. Subscribe, won't you? Subscribe to the Trumpet. 1-866-930-3024. And while you're at it, request this powerful, powerful booklet, The Holy Roman Empire in Prophecy. We're now witnessing the seventh and final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. We've told you for years that when NATO breaks apart, Germany's going to rise to the fore. Germany's going to be at center stage. I mean, ultimately, there's going to be massive confrontation between Germany and that Holy Roman Empire and Russia and China. I mean, these nations all factor in to end time prophecy in a massive way, as I say. But here's the United States just blind and duped, helping China to build to or to make itself into a world power, helping Russia, helping Germany. Even as we shoot ourselves in the foot, even as we attack ourselves from within, sickness from top to bottom. Look at COVID-19. Here we are about to come into the third year of this pandemic. 3 years. I saw a tweet the other day saying, you know, the worst part about 15 days to stop the spread is the first 2 years. 2 years of this. Here they are, as I say, the latest statistics from VAERS. We try to give you these every Monday or Tuesday. 19,836 more reports filed from January 7th to January 14th. So we're talking about a 7-day period here of almost 20,000 adverse reactions reported to VAERS, to the CDC, to the United States government. 448 more deaths, totaling 22,193. So we're now over 22,000 reported deaths. That's the highest. Audrey was telling me that's the highest that we've noticed since we started paying attention to this back in November. 448 and 1,583 more urgent care. Over 1,500, almost 1,600 admitted into urgent care. This is from the Epoch Times. It says, Americans have been dying at a significantly higher rate over the past 2 years or so, but the COVID-19 disease tells only part of the story. Among seniors, the pandemic could explain the increase in mortality more easily than among younger people, where there's a gap requiring further explanation. It says, overall, there appear to be three distinct patterns in the database on age, based on age, sorry. Among those of age 0 to 17, mortality remained virtually unchanged in 2019. Among those who were 65 or older, mortality increased in 2020, dropped in the first half of 2021. To skip ahead here, it says, among those aged 18 to 49, so in the prime of their life, mortality rose dramatically in the first half of 2020 and then somewhat plateaued before increasing again in the third quarter of 2021. So you've got all the side effects to the lockdowns, the depression, the drug overdoses, and so on. And then you throw in this vaccine, this toxic substance, that people are being pressured, that young people are being pressured to take. Senator Ron Johnson, he moderated this panel yesterday, as I said, all these experts from around the world to discuss COVID-19. COVID-19, a second opinion. Robert Malone, he was one of the guests there to speak, and he said that, look, this as far as the vaccines go, those were made for the original strain of the Wuhan flu. And so they don't do anything to stop Omicron. And you can see it by the number of infections all over the world. Israel, the UK, the United States, Canada. It's not stopping. He said if everyone got the vaccine, you still wouldn't have herd immunity. Still. And he's someone that actually had a hand in developing the technology for these vaccines. Listen to this individual, Thomas Rentz is his name. He's testifying on behalf of whistleblowers inside the medical industry that have come forward and have talked about the side effects to the vaccines. This is clip one.
We have substantial data showing that we saw, for example, miscarriages increased by 300% over the five-year average. This one's amazing. Neurological. So neurological issues, which would affect our pilots, over 1,000% increase. 1,000.
10 times. That's 10 times the rate, and obviously that resonates.
83,000 per year. I'm sorry, 82,000 per year to 863,000 in 1 year. Our soldiers are being experimented on, injured, and sometimes possibly killed. I have numerous instances where Fauci and that entire crew were saying, it's a crisis of the unvaxxed. It's 99% unvaxxed in the hospital. In Project Salus, in the weekly report, the DOD document says specifically,
71% of new cases are in the fully vaxxed, and 60% of hospitalizations are in the fully vaxxed. This is corruption at the highest level. We need investigations.
We need more than that. We need prosecutions. Corruption at the highest level. They lie. They lie. It's a pandemic of the unvaccinated, says the fake president. And he said it over and over again. And what do the statistics bear out? That the vaccinated are sick. They're getting sick. They're catching the virus. It's not stopping the virus. And many of them are suffering from deadly side effects. Listen to Dr. Peter McCullough. You've heard him before. Here he is talking about the spread of myocarditis thanks to the vaccine. Clip two.
Now, I will tell you, as a cardiologist, it is crystal clear that these vaccines cause myocarditis. We now have over 200 papers in the peer-reviewed literature on myocarditis, sadly showing the rates of myocarditis are far in excess of what the CDC ever imagined. We've identified that boys are have a predilection for this far more than girls. The maximum age group, the peak age group, is age 18 to 24. So it's actually the college age. The risk extends up to age 50. And I can tell you that in this age group, it is clear the risks of the vaccines are far greater than the risks of COVID-19. There is the father of a boy here in this room who's died of myocarditis. One death is too many. One. We have 21,000 cases of myocarditis and climbing in the United States that the CDC has verified. One was too many. Under no circumstances, under any circumstances, should a young person ever receive one of these vaccines.
Strong words, and there's witnesses there that are making his point. A father of a boy who died because of myocarditis. 21,000 cases. So at what point is Don Lemon going to say, hey, we better rethink this? A few are, as I said yesterday, a few on the left are speaking out. I played that clip from Barry Weiss on Bill Maher's program where she said, I did everything they told me to do. I was a faithful disciple of the COVID police. And it didn't work. And I'm done. I've had enough. Listen to Don Lemon's reaction to what Barry Weiss had said on Bill Maher. This is clip three.
That is why we need to end it, more than any inconvenience that it's been to the rest of us. I think it's a pandemic. It's like at this point, it's a pandemic of bureaucracy. It's a pandemic of bureaucracy. It's not, it's not real anymore.
Look, I know Barry Weiss. Not well. She's been on the show. I actually like her. Barry, that was messed up. I mean, that is so irresponsible.
That's all they can say. And, of course, they get help from big tech to try to censor. But it's becoming harder and harder to censor when you've got hearings like Ron Johnson's, when you've got Bill Maher, who's obviously coming from the left. He's waking up to this fraud. He's waking up to this scam, this hoax. And there's Barry Weiss. I don't know what she does. I think she has a podcast. In any event, Don Lemon knows her, and they don't know what to say. All they can say is, you're crazy. You're spreading misinformation. Listen to Eric Clapton. He's a musician, and he's spoken out strongly against the vaccine. I believe he's written songs about this as well. He comes from the UK, and he's talking here about the mass psychosis that Dr. Malone, I believe, has talked about before. This is clip four.
You know, the theory of mass hypnosis formation.
Yeah.
And I could see it then. Once I kind of started to look for it, I saw it everywhere. And that made me even more resolute. And so I went from that to looking at the news stuff that was coming out in England and the UK. We have BBC, and it used to be an impartial commentary on world affairs and state affairs. Sure. And suddenly it was like, it was completely one-way traffic about following orders and obedience. And
he's being too kind to BBC. They were horrible before COVID, but he certainly noticed the one-way traffic coming out from BBC during this this pandemic. The fact that it was all about, you just follow the orders, you just obey, even as Boris Johnson has his birthday parties and the Christmas parties and everything else. Same with Neil Ferguson, even as he goes off to commit adultery in the middle of London somewhere during the height of lockdown. All of them hypocrites. And there's a musician. I'm sure he probably comes from the left as well. Most of them do. But he says, I just was watching what was happening on YouTube, on the BBC. And there's this mass formation hypnosis. It's like people are hypnotized. It's like they're robots. They're stormtroopers. How do you look at what has happened in these last 2 years and get up as a famous billionaire and praise China of all countries to high heaven? Nah, it's not like China has to be singled out as the lone evil country in the world. The problem is human nature. And that's all over the world, in every nation. But the truth, like the Bible says, your Bible says it, truth has been cast into the ground. It's been buried. Truth fails. So you get up and speak the truth, and well, you're going to be blotted out. In the case of John Stockton, you know, you get your season ticket suspended. Can't go to a basketball game anymore because he wouldn't wear a mask. It really, there's more to it than that. He spoke out against the vaccines, and you're not supposed to do that. Certainly not in Washington State. You just can't speak out. If you speak out, you're blotted out. Those are the rules. And so Gonzaga says to their most famous athlete ever, you can't come to any more Gonzaga games. Listen to how CNN reported on this story. This is clip 5.
This standoff on masks follows Stockton's appearance last year in a 9-part conspiracy theory-driven video series.
This isn't a virus cheating us of its opportunities. It's the guys making decisions saying, no, no, we're too scared. We're going to shut everything down. Sit in your house and be careful. My kids and my grandkids hearing these things and accepting them as truth. And when I know by my significant amount of research that it isn't.
He told the Spokesman Review in an interview published on Saturday that he believes, quote, it's over 100 professional athletes dead. Professional athletes, the prime of their life, dropping dead that are vaccinated, right on the pitch, right on the field, right on the court.
If something like that were to happen, we would know of that already.
So, Professor Richard Carpiano says effective measures are in place to watch for potential adverse reactions to vaccines. The CDC requires healthcare workers to report deaths and other adverse effects following vaccination, even if it's not clear whether the vaccine was the cause. The CDC says reports of serious issues are rare. So Stockton's claim?
It's really quite dangerous, and it puts people at harm, it puts his fans at harm, and it's going to get people sick, and unfortunately someone is going to die too.
Right, it's John Stockton killing people. John Stockton is the one that's responsible for deaths in the United States of America. Here's CNN quoting from the CDC, referring to the CDC, and the CDC's VAERS website, the page on the CDC site, says 22,000 Americans have died because of the vaccine. Is that rare? Is that something that happens all the time? Every single year for the past 30, 40 years, it's 200-300 die from this vaccine or this drug. 200-300 die from this vaccine. And then this year or the past year, 2021, 22,000? That's right. That's right. And there's Carpiano saying, listen, if there was an athlete, If there was an athlete that collapsed and died on the pitch, I mean, we would know about it. We would tell you about it. There's video of it. There's video of these things happening. And all the VAERS reporting, they just get up and lie. That's all that they can do. Don Lemon, you know, tilting his head, something. Nah, boy, that's just disappointing. For her to come out and say that, I know her, and I mean, that's some misinformation. John Stockton, good for him. Looks like a pretty good video series. I was unaware of it until I saw that CNN clip. But there he was talking about how that the lockdowns, it's a self-inflicted wound. A self-inflicted wound. He's right. I don't know about the rest of what he said in that video series. But he said in that video somehow, somewhere, sometime, what we said at the trumpet in the early summer of 2020. The cure is killing us. The New York Times had a piece. I forget the title here, but it was in yesterday's news, talking about the economy and the skyrocketing inflation. They're trying to get a handle on what caused all of this. Listen to this. It says, but a chorus of economists point to government policies as a big part of the reason U.S. inflation is at a 40-year high. While they agree that prices are rising as a result of shutdowns and supply chain woes, they say that America's decision to flood the economy with stimulus money helped to send consumer spending into overdrive, exacerbating those global trends. So let's even go further to the root causes. Why did they need all of that stimulus money? Because of the lockdowns. Because businesses were going out or under. As John Stockton brought out, this is self-inflicted. Then we pump all these trillions of dollars into the economy. And surprise, surprise, here comes the inflation. Skyrocketing inflation. 40-year high inflation. It says here, while many nations... Sorry, let me back up. It says, but some economists point out that even as inflation proves pervasive around the globe, it's been more pronounced in America than elsewhere. We're leading the way. Yes, America's leading the world in inflation, in humiliating defeats on the battlefield. See Afghanistan. We're leading the world in pandemic scaremongering. We're leading the world by spreading out billions and billions of doses of this toxic substance that in some cases is killing people and hurting young people, hurting children. If even one, remember we heard it early on in the pandemic from Cuomo and people like that. If one person can be saved from lockdowns or because of lockdowns, it's worth it. It's worth it to lock it down for just 15 days. Well, how about if one young person, let's say one 18-year-old dies because of the vaccine? What should we do? What should be our plan of action? The New York Times says here, while many nations spend heavily to protect their economies from coronavirus fallout, in some places enough to push up demand and potentially inflation, the United States approved about $5 trillion in spending in 2020 and 21. That outstripped the response in other major economies as a share of the nation's output, according to data compiled by the IMF. It says many economists supported protecting workers and businesses early in the pandemic, but some took issue with the size of the $1.9 trillion package last March under the Biden administration. They argued that sending households another round of stimulus, including $1,400 checks, further fueled demand when the economy was already healing. Are you beginning to see that America is cursed? These are curses. And yeah, a lot of it stems from horrible leadership. But that's, again, that's prophesied. Isaiah 3. And then the curses, Leviticus 26, Deuteronomy 28, they're self-inflicted, okay, but they're still curses. Hey, we got to lock down everything. I mean, even if it saves one life, this is a good thing. suicide skyrocketing, all these other sicknesses and diseases that come as a direct result of lockdown. And then, trillions and trillions of dollars. We got to pump it in. We got to save businesses. We got to save them. And now look at what it's done to businesses, to supply chains. We got to shut down the pipeline, save the environment. We got to shut down the border with Canada, of all things, if you're unvaccinated, because we've got to save people from COVID. All these extreme actions, these radical actions that you never would have dreamed of happening just 3-4 years ago. Now it's, can't let those trucks through the Canadian border. And oh, by the way, China should really be congratulated. Let's congratulate the communist state of China that created the virus and unleashed it on the world. I want to get to this montage before we run out of time. As I said, this is from Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson's panel discussion yesterday on COVID-19, a second opinion, clip 8.
Natural immunity is not just equal to, but far superior than vaccinal immunity. But these public health officials at CDC and NIH, they knew better than that. They knew that they were misleading the public and they were misleading the government and the population. They knew better than that your serum antibodies can wane. But they knew that we had another compartment, your cellular immunity, your long-lived B-cell immunity, T-cell immunity.
What you have is a vulnerable population, an older vulnerable population, who really do and did need protecting from the virus because they face such a high risk of death if we're infected. At the same time, the rest of the population were harmed more by the lockdowns than they were by the virus itself.
The disastrous fruits of this myopia include an unprecedented 40% increase in all-cause mortality among working-age adults, 18 to 64, over the last year, most of which, 2/3 to 3/4, depending on the state, was not related to COVID. Our public health establishment has no answer for what caused that.
Regarding the currently available mRNA and adenoviral vectored vaccines, the science is settled. It's not a political issue. These vaccines are designed for the original Wuhan strain, but are mismatched for Omicron. They do not prevent infection, viral replication, or spread to others. In other words, the vaccines are leaky, they have poor durability, and even if every man, woman, and child in the United States were vaccinated with these products, they cannot achieve herd immunity. Furthermore, they're not completely safe, and the full nature of the risks remain uncharacterized. It usually takes us many years to fully understand the risks of vaccines and certainly new vaccine technologies. Informed consent based on full disclosures of risks is an absolute necessity for any medical procedure. You all know this. When you go to the doctor, if you have a medical procedure, you go to the surgeon, they describe the risks, benefits, and allow you to make a choice. Mandating these vaccines makes no sense and is completely inconsistent with the core principles of Western bioethics, developed since the Nuremberg trials and codified in federal law as the federal common rule.
Age is a huge determinant of symptomatology, from no symptoms at all, a younger type of senator, all the way to extreme symptoms and death in the very elderly and frail. Part of that determinism is layered onto it comorbidities. Dr. Parks went over this. Obesity amplifies the syndrome, diabetes, heart disease, kidney disease. So the presence of other diseases amplifies symptomatology and consequences. And then leading research suggests that not everybody can actually get COVID-19. The CDC has always said about 15% of people can't get COVID-19, and it may be protective factors such as the microbiome, the local organism content in the nasopharynx and oropharynx plays a role. It's contiguous to the microbiome in the gastrointestinal tract.
The NIH guidelines for the post-treatment of hospitalized patients for COVID include remdesivir and low-dose dexamethasone. Consequently, almost every single patient in this country, almost every single patient in this country is treated with the combination of remdesivir and low-dose dexamethasone. The Data Safety Monitoring Board of that study terminated the study of remdesivir, terminated, because remdesivir increased the risks of death and renal failure. It was such a toxic drug, the Data Safety Monitoring Board terminated the use of remdesivir. Yet, in January and February of 2021, the NIH and the ACT-1 study enrolled patients in a study looking at remdesivir for the treatment of COVID-19. Dr. Fauci sat in the Oval Office of the White House, and he said the trial was good news. What Dr. Fauci did not tell you was that the primary endpoint of the study was changed halfway during the study. Because the study was not going to be positive, they changed the primary endpoint. The original endpoint was an 8-point ordinal scale that included death and the requirement for mechanical ventilation. Knowing that remdesivir would not affect those endpoints, they invented a bogus endpoint called time to recovery, which they showed in this study was statistically significant. And based on this bogus endpoint, remdesivir was approved by the FDA on October the 20th, 2020. If you look at the four independent studies, including the large study by the WHO, it shows the opposite effect. Remdesivir increases the risk of death. Let me say that again. Remdesivir increases the risk of death by 3%. It increases your chances of renal failure by 20%. This is a toxic drug. But just to make the situation even more preposterous, the federal government will give hospitals a 20% bonus on the entire hospital bill if they prescribe remdesivir to Medicare patients. The federal government is incentivizing hospitals to prescribe a medication which is toxic. So it should be noted that remdesivir costs about $3,000 a course. Dr. Corey spoke about ivermectin. Ivermectin reduces the risk of death by about 50%. It costs the WHO 2 cents. So what the NIH and other agencies have ignored are multiple FDA-approved drugs. These are FDA-approved drugs. These are not experimental drugs, which are cost-effective and safe and have unequivocally been shown to reduce the death of patients in the ICU and in hospital. In fact, it is one of the safest drugs on this planet. You are more likely to die from taking Tylenol. You are more likely to die from taking Tylenol than ivermectin.
And we know that the spike protein is toxic. The Ginsha lab at Georgetown showed the spike protein signals through the ACE2 receptor, which usually doesn't signal at all, and that leads to pulmonary hypertension. This is causing inflammation. Avolio and at the Bristol Medical Center in the UK showed that the spike protein severely disrupts the functions of cells that support the heart. We know the spike protein is toxic. Why are we having our bodies make it?
The problem is these drugs are viruses and cancer cells are unique. They use our own machinery. So if you're not killing the virus, you're killing something. You're killing our mitochondria. You're killing our cells. So at the end of the day, I think the message that I kind of want to send is, as Dr. Cole said earlier, the virus isn't killing people. It's in a sense, it's the viral particles creating the inflammation, creating the blood clots. the cars versus the car parts. So it's not dying from the cars, you're dying from the car parts.
Now, one thing I hope everybody realizes how highly qualified this panel is. I intended, quite honestly, for this event to hold no more than a half a dozen. But it was pretty hard to turn down the offers of eminently qualified individuals coming here to share their information, their opinion with the American public. So now, I do want to point out that we invited folks from the other side of the narrative, federal health agencies, their heads, or some representative from them, the CEOs or some representative from the vaccine manufacturers. They decided not to show up, which I think is somewhat telling, but also very disappointing.
Ah, yes. Fauci and friends, they have no interest in this discussion. They have no interest in considering the second opinion. What, they're too busy congratulating China like Bill Gates? Big Pharma? Big Pharma, you think he's going to show up for this this panel discussion? The CEO of Pfizer? He's too busy winning awards. He won $1 million from some Israeli group for how he saved the world, I guess. He's congratulated Fauci. He's congratulated Neil Ferguson. Never mind the adultery. He's congratulated. Government is always to be congratulated. They're always doing everything right. And certainly China. Elise Stefanik, she's a congresswoman from New York. She says her office is answering calls from constituents, specifically parents who are informing us that their kids are being kept from entering schools unless they are wearing masks. There's a judge that just ruled that the communist governor there cannot enforce this mask mandate. You cannot force people to wear masks. And yet here are schools still, even after the judge says, no, don't do it, can't do it, not constitutional. My father in this issue of the Trumpet, remember, this is the anniversary issue. Make sure that you subscribe to it. Call our operators and become a subscriber. There was that personal at the beginning on Barack Obama being exposed, and he talked about how these radicals are brazen like demons. They're brazen like demons. I mean, the demonic activity. Have you seen some of these videos of people that are just right in the face of someone that's not wearing a mask? I mean, it's like they're frothing at the mouth, and then they rip their mask off to make sure they can spit at the individual that's going maskless. It's the same spirit behind the university saying to one of its most faithful fans, no, you can't come into our stadium because we enforce masks. You can't come into the stadium you played in for 4 years because you won't wear a mask. And you made a video that really offended us. You need to be blotted out. Robert Kennedy, I don't think we played that clip of him speaking recently about the vaccines and their deadly side effects. And listen to how CNN reported on this.
This morning, we're going to play something for you that is deranged. Deranged and dishonest and offensive. I could go on. At a rally in Washington last night, the notorious anti-vaxxer Robert Kennedy Jr. compared those who defy vaccine mandates to Jews hiding from the Nazis during the Holocaust.
It's been the ambition of every totalitarian state from the beginning of mankind to control every aspect of behavior, of conduct, of thought, and to obliterate dissent.
Who is deranged? You decide. Is it Robert Kennedy, or is it that CNN host? Is it John Stockton, or is it the elites there running the university? Is it the school officials, or is it the parents of these children in New York complaining about their children having to wear masks, or they can't even go to school? Well, that's all that we have time for on today's show. Don't forget to subscribe to The Trumpet. I mentioned this Holy Roman Empire in Prophecy book. Really, really powerful book. Make sure that you request your free copy. You're listening to Stephen Fleury. This is The Trumpet Daily. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow.